You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network. Okay, so I realize, and anyone who's been listening to me for a long time is going to go, like, what's the point of even listening to Chris on this? Because he's a shameless Aaron Sorkin fanatic. I mean, I like him so much, I've seen all the episodes of Sports Night, and that's about sports.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I'm like, I hang on his every word. I have all the seasons of The Newsroom.
I'm the same way.
I'm a giant dork for him. And that being said, I don't think Molly's Game is one of the best things he's done. I was, you were saying right before we recorded, you're just kind of tired by the end.
I am tired. I love Aaron Sorkin, although, again, not as apparently much fan as you guys are, because I have not watched Sports Night, but
you should. It's great.
I love his words. I mean, there are only two people I know who really do a good job with words, and it's him and Tarantino, and everyone else uses too many, but Aaron Sorkin's are good.
He finds a way to sort of pair up things that always line up within my interests. Like, maybe my favorite director is David Fincher, and Aaron Sorkin is my favorite writer. So obviously that's why I love The Social Network, and I love sports, and that's why Sports Night and Moneyball connects with me so much.
Right.
And I love poker, and that's why this movie connects with me so much.
Yeah, which isn't to say I didn't like this movie, because I did. I just felt it had more... It has some things in it I found to be problematic. And
well,
it's
his directorial debut. He's trying to figure his thing out.
But, yeah. I mean, inside of writing, I felt like there's some issues. And I expected the writing would be all on top form, which for the most part it is. But directing this is kind of workmanlike, I thought.
I did feel like he's been such a staple for a long time, and there are things that, you know, Sorkinisms that he's put into, like, everything, and I feel like maybe he's probably a little tired of that. He tried to venture out of his comfort zone a little bit, and that's where maybe it doesn't work as well.
Well, the story here is based, in fact, on a real story here, with Jessica Chastain playing the role of Molly Bloom, who wrote a book, Molly's Game, From Hollywood's Elite to Wall Street's Billionaire Boys Club, My High-Stakes Adventure in the World of Underground Poker. Boy, that's a mouth. How'd they even fit that on the cover of a book? It's the longest title. There was no room. She's like scrunching underneath the words on the title or something, right? But, yeah, she was a very, very smart lady who basically, looking for what her direction was in life, when she was had a deal where she was working with a guy who was throwing sort of underground poker club, was like, well, I could do this better than this guy can and make a lot more money doing it. And she really did. And part of it is that people really liked her. She knew how to talk to people. She had a sort of cold self-awareness of how to make people happy in the way that she needed them to be, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, as you watch this play out with Chastain, who I think is a tremendous actress. And, I mean, she's like one of she's great, not an up and comer anymore. She's like, established as being incredible. She completely sells that here. Some of which using voiceover, which I know, narration, which I know annoys some people, but it's Aaron Sorkin. Sorkin uses narration. It's one of those things it's a given for his stuff, and it tends to work with him. And we see right from the beginning, she's in trouble. She's been busted, and she is gotten a lawyer played by Idris Elba. Another one of those guys used to be an up-and-comer, and now everybody in the world knows who he is.
I haven't watched him in anything. He didn't even need to talk.
Incredibly talented, gorgeous hunk of man-meat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You get two of the most beautiful people in the world playing versus each other in this movie.
Yeah. Dreamy.
It's going to put some degree of butts in seats right there. But he's her lawyer, and most of this movie is told through flashbacks as we see all of this play out and this whole story. How did it all lead up to the FBI deciding to bust her, and her saying basically, well, starting off with sort of, I was running a legal game, and then going, okay, well, maybe it wasn't that legal.
Yeah.
But watching all this array of characters who she meets along the way, several of which played by very recognizable actors in here, like Chris O'Dowd, Michael Cera, who, by the way, in real life was Tobey Maguire, apparently.
Okay. Really?
I read a whole piece on it that was written way before this movie. It was based
on
a book.
Very interesting.
Where, I mean, she came out and said it. She's like, yeah, it was Tobey Maguire, who is apparently an unbelievable person. prick. There's a part not even in the movie that's a big part of the book that everybody was quoting when the book was published, where he like tried to basically say, well, here's $1,000. I want you to get on your knees and bark like a dog. And she was like in front of everyone. She's like, no, I'm not going to fucking do that.
Are you kidding?
And he got really mad that she wouldn't do it and stomped out.
That would not have worked for me either.
Yeah. A lot of familiar faces that run through this thing, some of which more television type actors, but Sorkin certainly has his background in that, strongly in that, that's for sure. And then Kevin Costner, who is the part that I thought actually is the one part of this movie I could have used without. And not just because I'm not the world's biggest Costner fan for most stuff. He's good in some things. It's his role in this film, which is to play her father. And ultimately felt like kind of a cop-out on the whole strong woman thing, because you're like, wait, so your movie devolves into, oh, so she just has daddy issues is her problem. Yeah. I'm like, oh, come on.
I know. It sucks, because I knew that they were toying with my emotions at the end, and I'm like, oh, I'm actually feeling touched by this, and I'm really irritated by this scene, because, again, it's like this strong woman, very independent, and then it's down to nothing. It's just like eliminates the whole strong woman thing.
There was no need for there to be. She's a strong woman. We don't need to have it. Oh, well, it's because she has problems with her father that's why she's strong. What?
Okay. And then it turns out it wasn't even that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's, I mean, you're not watching this. This is one of those movies, like, there's so much of it that is familiar. There's some stuff like that that is, like, a little problematic by today's standards. But you're watching it for the diamonds dripping from people's mouths that Aaron Sorkin, Aaron Sorkin writes dialogue.
The words.
And there's certainly no shortage of just stunning turns of phrase in this film.
There's some really nice scenes between,
Poker has a lot of turns of, and I love how he portrayed, like, how she learned a lot of the verbiage and stuff like that. And, even the way it portrays the way a good poker player can lose to a really bad one, because that happens in real life, and it's just as frustrating as it's portrayed in the movie. And that was done really well.
I know nothing about poker, so when they were listing off all the, you know, Running River and Foxtrot 70, I don't even know what the stuff is, obviously. But I mean, I wasn't like, wow, this is.
I'd
be Googling it too.
I kept expecting Daniel Craig to show up and start playing cards. It's like, everybody get out. This game is a bust. No, but that's Baccarat. I don't know. I think part of it is that at 2 hours and 20 minutes, this just goes on a lot longer than it needs to be, considering that the plot is not that terribly complex overall. You know, as much as I enjoy the poker games, I'm really enjoying more the verbal sparring between Idris Elba and Jessica Chastain, because when it comes back to the two of them together, it's on fire.
It's electric.
Yeah, they're just great, because he doesn't particularly like her at all at first.
Yeah.
He's like, I think you're just a terrible person. And as he gets to know her, he starts to actually, you know, I mean, I don't mean romantically, but develops feelings for her.
Well, right, and he recognizes she's got this strict code of ethics that she always follows and stays true to the whole way through, which is actually, you know, part of her charm, I guess. She has ethics.
I agree with that. It ran too long, and that the bulk of the importance of the story happens when she's in New York, and so they probably didn't need to spend as much time as they spent in L.A.
Yeah, I agree. I think there could have been some of that. I mean, you could have established it pretty well and then moved on to the meat of the problem.
It feels weird that, because, like, ultimately, you know, she goes from a harmless game that literally is not illegal in the scenario in California to a game in New York where, to get back her, she ends up getting involved without realizing it with a Russian mob. And I felt like, where's the part where this movie gets scary? Shouldn't this be scary?
That's what I was thinking.
And it insinuates that it was scary, but there's only one real scene that's kind of frightening with that. And you're like, okay, I wanted part of it to go on more. I wanted to see a Sorkin-esque escape from this scenario. And it just felt like it more kind of petered out to the whole, like, well, now I don't do this anymore.
Yeah, up the ante a little bit.
So to speak.
Ah.
Nice one.
Good.
Huh?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I see what you did there. Or did you mean
to? It took so long for me to come up with one.
I don't know. I mean, I guess my biggest complaint is really just that, like, we see him, his work get attached to some of the best directors, like, there are, you know? I mean, yeah. God, his, I thought his Steve Jobs was a masterpiece, and that was half him and half the director, what's his name, 28 Days Later guy.
Aronofsky.
No.
Or no, I'm no. Sorry.
Did Life of Pi, did...
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm blanking too.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. Big, big name director, yeah.
Danny Boyle.
Danny Boyle, thank you very much. And this one, you're like, okay, you know how the language of film, there's no question, but you don't really have some much of a sense of style. And you definitely don't have much of a sense of pacing a scene.
Yeah, that was the problem, was the pacing. And, you know, he's done so much TV, I just sort of felt like it was a big episode of TV at one point.
Well, yeah, that's also, I think, where in he may have painted himself into a corner, because the setting, there aren't a lot of settings. There's whatever room she's got the game in. Mm-hmm. There's Idris Elba's office, and it's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it doesn't really explore a lot of landscapes the way he's capable of creating, you know, stories in multiple places.
He kept also in this film, like, there's a lot of the movie just repeating itself, basically, mm-hmm. like, trying to be like, well, we're making this feel like Goodfellas or something, but, yeah. like, we want to keep that arc of it going. And they keep introducing characters and then not doing anything interesting with them. Like, there's these ladies that she introduces on her own game who are like this one was a Playboy model. Yeah. And this one was, like, these gorgeous women who are also all, like, genius level intellects. Yeah. And you're like, wow, you just set up some fascinating sounding people.
Yep.
And that's all we get.
Yeah.
Yeah, even, yeah, like Chris O'Dowd's character initially exists to set up the Russian people. And that should have been the end of him. And he still kept going back to him for some reason.
Because he has nothing else to do at that point. Like, why? I mean, we all love Chris O'Dowd, but why are you here?
Yeah, I know. Well, she was amusing, I guess. Character development on her part, I guess.
I mean, she's so strong in this film that she is really carrying the weight of the entire thing on her back. She's in almost every shot of the film.
Yeah, you hear her in every scene.
And she is a powerhouse. There's no denying that no matter how else you feel about the rest of this film, Chastain is just simply stunning in it. But, you know, it's like an ensemble cat film that nobody else has developed in.
Yeah. That's so interesting. That's an interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah. I don't know, at least for me. But let's go to final thoughts. JC, why don't you get us started?
Was highly looking forward to this, and so I've falls a little bit of a victim to my expectations being so high for it.
Me too.
It's not as great as a Sorkin movie could be. I still enjoy it immensely. I think the pairing of it being a story about a little, you know, involving poker and things like that worked. Idris Elba and Jessica Chastain played off each other really well. Yeah, I still enjoyed it immensely, just maybe not as much as I was hoping. And I'd still probably revisit it and like it even more upon every revisit. But yeah, I would give it 7 out of 10 flops.
Mark?
I really enjoyed this movie, even though it made me tired. But when their dialogue scenes got going, it was just gripping. So some of those scenes between, you know, Idris and Jessica Chastain, they are just powerhouses. So they're electric on the screen. Yeah, she did carry the movie, and I really enjoyed, you know, the strong woman. I like the fact that no sex, no romance. Wow, women can be people too without all that stuff and not being the dumb lead.
She's
know,
like,
the
I don't
dumb
have,
lady.
She's
inside.
Like, I don't have time for that shit.
It was nice, and I enjoyed that. That being said, the pacing did throw me off, and I do like nonlinear storytelling. But at one point, I felt like I didn't know what the point was, and I really wanted to have some kind of a point sooner. Like, I didn't know what the fuck was going on and what was going to happen. And yeah, you never know what's going to happen in a movie. And I go in without any expectations, or I try not to watch any trailers or anything. But I really wanted them to get the point a little faster for me. So, that being said, I really do like those. I mean, his dialogue is just so good. So I'm going to give it a 7.5 Russian roulette ladies.
Okay. Out of 10,000 or 10?
Out of 10.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah.
You're like,
no.
Damn, you hated it. So that's
no. Out of 10. I'll keep it to the 10s.
Yeah. I think this is going to be looked at in the future as a lesser Sorkin movie, but maybe not necessarily that for Chastain. I think this is actually, for as performances, one of her best performances.
She's great.
She's so strong in this. It's a, and once again, the dialogue that's written for her is so strong. I say everyone should probably check this movie out, but gosh, it sure feels like it, you know, with all this talent, why isn't this better than it is?
Yeah, I wish it were, you know, a little bit shorter.
There's no excuse for this not being a better film than it is. And I found myself, I kept pulling back from it, which is something that never happens to me with Sorkin stuff. So I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 poker chips, because nobody took it yet, thank God.